Our guest tonight, we're taking your calls, is Jay Widener. The subject, Stanley Kubrick, the Apollo moon hoax, and the 1999 alleged video that was released yesterday on the internet. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter. I'm going to find out tonight who can figure out the theme to this bumper music. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight. He's away with family on holiday. Our guest tonight is Jay Widener. And Jay, I do want to thank you for hanging on a Friday night like this. Normally we do open lines and it's great and I get to interact with the Coast audience. But, you know, having a partner in this with somebody that I respect as much as you, I know that the audience really appreciates it as well. So I want to thank you for that ahead of time in case we do end up running out of time, in which we always will. Let's go to Mike in Kentucky on the wild card line. Mike, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello. In the early 70s, I worked at Rockwell International, and I had a top secret security clearance, and I hand carried some wiring diagrams over to another building, and the guy had to come out and sign for him, and he didn't want to come out, so I went back where he was. I guess it was okay because I had the security clearance. And he had two vehicles in there they were working on. They were like much smaller versions of the space shuttle, had skids on them and vectoring nozzles in the front and in the back, about the size of a full-size Dodge pickup or maybe a little bit bigger. And I asked him what they were for, and he said they were for the lunar program. And I said, how long had they been making them? And he said, about 5 years. And I said, how many had they made? And he said, 20 of them.
What year was this, Mike?
It was in 74.
Interesting. Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I didn't catch the date.
That's basically all. I mean, you know, there's a few odd things like that I've seen there, like the high mat they had there, and the one they show in the books don't look anything alike. The one that they had there didn't have any wings on it. Just looked like a triangle with the tip cut off.
Well, Jay's probably wanting to ask this question, so I'll ask it for Jay. What did you think you were seeing?
I really thought I was seeing some new phase of maybe, you know, something they were going to use in the space program. And that's when I asked the guy that, and he just told me it was for the lunar program and that they had been making them for 5 years when I asked him how long they'd been making them. I thought it was something new.
Interesting.
It wasn't in any of their intercompany publications. Some things they put in their intercompany publications, but other things they didn't, of course.
Jay, what do you make of that? Jay, did we lose you? Did we lose Jay?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, there you are, Jay. Okay.
I'll tell you something. Somebody's messing with us because not only I'm getting all sorts of interference from you guys on this end. So just so you know.
Of course.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway,
that's fair enough.
I actually believe the caller, absolutely 100%. And I believe that we had an active lunar program going probably by the mid-60s. And I've talked to artists who work in aerospace, and they've told me that they were designing stuff in the late 60s, descriptions very close to what this guy was just saying. And they didn't know why they were being asked to draw these things, but it was clear that they were part of some kind of concept program. And I think they have technology. I know they have technology that goes way, way, way beyond what we have. And I think
to have any other, like, motive engines in them. They just had vectored thrust nozzles in the front and the back, but I couldn't see anything else to propel them.
Well, there was one thing, not one thing, there was many things, but there was one thing about Stanley that we can't lose sight of. He started production with Arthur C. Clarke and the development of the movie in 1964, 1963, 64, 65. Yep. At that time, you had Attack of the Flying Saucers. You know, that was what was projected out there from Hollywood, but also our general idea of what was going on. Yeah, we had Mercury in development, Gemini, but what we didn't have was the vision at that time that happened in 2001. That was in fact, it never even really happened. It was so far, I mean, that we know of, so far ahead of itself. The space shuttle that was there, that docked in the opening scene of the movie, if you think about that, that was so visionary. And Mike is talking about seeing it in 74, where they had sketches of a space shuttle in 1965.
Well, I think that's right. I think Stanley knew that there was a secret space program, and that was the whole point of the obscuration of it with making the Apollo stuff. So, you know, you could actually say that the Apollo fakery was designed to hide the real stuff, and Stanley was part of it. And I really believe this because I've heard it from so many people, not just the caller there. I've heard it from a lot of people that there is amazingly advanced technologies, that we have bases on the moon, bases on Mars. We're easily able to travel between the two using not rockets, but very advanced portal technology. And they have thrusters at work in a vacuum that can get up to 40% of the speed of light. And we already have it. Ben Rich, the guy who headed Skunk Works for Lockheed Martin, said before he died that we have the technology to get E.T. home right now. And this was 20 years ago.
Thank you for the call. And I want you to have a great, safe weekend, Mike. Thank you so much. Let's go to Wayne Wildcard in Chicago, my hometown. Wayne, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, okay. Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Jay. I didn't know this was your hometown, Jimmy.
That's right, man.
Wow. Okay, yes. I want to say that I'm one of those type of people who is very, very developed when it comes to when I hear the truth. I can just about know it's true. But on the flip side of that, I can be fooled just like any other human being. But I believe that what they're saying is true. And what I want to ask him is, I don't know if it was him or the guest earlier that had mentioned Fukushima. And this was what I've been wondering. That nuclear power plant has been leaking since March of 2011. And even Coast to Coast had a guy that came on by his last name was Gunderson, I believe, who said that it could be fixed. So what I'm wondering is, it's almost 5 years that they're letting all of this nuclear waste go into the Pacific Ocean. And why isn't anybody doing anything about it? The 150 world leaders just met and took a picture, first time in world history. And, you know, like, for instance, this secret space program on Coast to Coast, one night, I think it was either the granddaughter or the great-granddaughter of Dwight D. Eisenhower. She came on your show and said straight up, yeah, they asked me to go to Mars, and I turned them down. So I agree with what they're saying. All the things they've been showing us, from the so-called Apollo 11 moon landing, which I watched as a kid, all the way up to this day, I think it's just a cover for the real secret space program. So I just wanted to ask Jay, what does he think? Why are they not doing anything for Fukushima? I'll hang up and listen off the air. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the phone call.
I would actually call that like the $25 trillion question. Why, after 5 years almost, is nobody, is there's not a worldwide commission looking in to help the Japanese solve this problem? Why aren't the greatest scientists? Where's Obama? What's going on here? And I think I actually have an answer why everybody's avoiding Fukushima. And the answer is this. The Japanese mafia, the Yakuza, are well known to be the people who are behind most of the large construction projects in Japan, and I think that there may have been corners cut at Fukushima, as they do when they're doing these construction projects. And I think that TEPCO and the Yakuza and the Japanese government dare not let anyone in, because they will find out that there were all sorts of substandard building practices going on, which actually caused it to happen.
I'll jump in and take it one step further there, Jay, is why isn't something as important as Fukushima not spoken about as the lead-in news story on every mass media broadcast on planet Earth every single day?
It's a really good question, and the answer is quite terrifying, because it has to be that they know. They had CBS sent a reporter to Fukushima, and the guy driving the car had a seismometer, and the damn thing goes off about 15 miles away from the plant. And he goes completely white and turns the car around and races out of there as fast as he can. So it's even worse than, you know, even the guy that was driving the car thought it would be. So it's really bad.
And I had heard, I didn't hear it. I actually saw it with my own eyes. But if shopping for fish in Japan right now, you do it with Geiger counter. Now, is that what our world has come to? That is just a frightening situation. Now, we're going to be up against a break. Let's go ahead and the phone lines are completely jammed, and I will try to get everybody in before the end of the show. That is my promise to you. Let's go to Max Wildcard. Max is in St. Paul, Minnesota. Max, welcome to Coast AM.
Wow, what a pleasure to be on with you guys, Jimmy and Jay and Stanley, of course, and he's my biggest influence in the world with the music and performance art that I'm going to be doing. Music's done. But, oh, my God, I mean, I never even knew who you were, Jay, until tonight. Thank God I turned on the radio at 1:30. My God. My first question is a real quick one. Do you think he was murdered because of what he did, Jay, with the Eyes Wide Shut?
I can't answer that because I don't know, but I will say this. I do find it highly suspicious that he, A, died just a few days after he showed the final cut to the Warner Brothers executives, who were not very happy about it, I've heard, and then, Two... he died exactly, if you can dig this one, 666 days before January 1st, 2001.
Let's not go there, Jay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. Max, what was your other question?
Big time. In fact, 666 is the big part of the title of my massive project. It's I'm not going to plug myself. I'll be coming on there next year on the program, I'm sure. But I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about Stanley. And another real quick question. You know, Jimmy, what is that record called? All information is out there. The Asakic record or whatever.
Yeah, the Asakic Records.
The Akashic Records.
Yeah, Akashic. Because see, you know, all true artists and musicians and geniuses and scientists, they're able to tap into that, you know, like Einstein did with his thought experiments, and that's how I've been doing my things my whole life. And what do you think about, a correlation between Eyes Wide Shut and then Bohemian Grove, and what do you guys think about Bohemian Grove is my big question.
Well, thank you for the call, Max, and have a great, safe weekend. Do you think there's a question or a connection there, Jay, between...
Oh, I'm sure the people in the orgy, the leaders that are featured in Eyes Wide Shut would be the same people that would go to the Bohemian Grove. And probably they have things like that going on at the Bohemian Grove. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
And what about the you know, we don't have to name names, but what do you think about the casting choices?
Well, I thought Sidney Pollack was absolutely brilliant, actually. Tom Cruise, you know, I thought it was actually a pretty good performance by him. So usually I'm not that big of a fan, but I thought he was actually pretty good in the movie.
You know what's funny? We sound like we should have our own movie, you know, review show. But to be honest, I rather enjoyed Eyes Wide Shut, and it really freaked me out in the end. There was so much criticism there, and I didn't get it, you know, the criticism, because I thought it was just there. And Stanley's never disappointed me in any flick, but the criticism behind Eyes Wide Shut, no, I thought it was filmed great, shot great, and I thought it was a great script, too, as well. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Jim in Somerset, Pennsylvania. Jim, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, I'd like to say good evening to everyone. I'm enjoying your program. I do have a little disagreement on the Apollo mission. First of all, I used to work for NASA during the Mercury program, and then I went to work at the nuclear rocket program in Pittsburgh for a number of years until it was phased out. Then I spent the next 30 years as an engineer and production engineer for NBC and CBS television.
Well, what's your disagreement, though, Jim?
Well, first of all, I'm quite certain the Apollo missions did take place. I think they're legitimate. If it was fake, number one question I'd bring up is, why would the first 30 seconds of the transmission from the moon be upside down, as it was on the initial transmission? If they had made a film, that would have been perfect. It wouldn't have been upside down if the first 30 seconds were upside down on the transmission. The second part of it is, we've tracked the radio transmissions from the capsule and from the spacecraft from the time it was launched to the time it went into orbit around the moon. And when they landed on the moon, we were able to listen to their two-way radio when they went away from the capsule. They had a 5-watt transmitter transmitting on 296 megahertz, and they could talk back and forth. We have some very sophisticated ham radio operators with large equipment. We were able to actually listen to them on the surface of the moon. Had the craft not been sent up there, first of all, while it was moving up, it was changing speed. We could check the Doppler shift on the frequencies, and we know that it slowed down to a certain point and then speeded up again as it landed. The visual section of the movie that they showed, where they have a stepladder with, I think that's what it was, because I don't have the picture with me right now, but it showed a stepladder and some motion picture equipment, was probably chroma keyed in on top of the regular NASA transmission. Very simple to do.
Well, hey, Jim, we're going to be up against a break here, so I'll go ahead and have Jay answer that. We've got about 15 seconds. Jim, thank you for the phone call. Can you address that really quick, Jay, before we head out?
Yeah, the transmissions were coming out of Australia. That's where they were being picked up. And also, I think Jor-El, the base in, I think it's Puerto Rico, or maybe was also picking them up. But I, outside of that, the rest of it, you know, it's really easy to explain what they're doing. I think the real question you have to ask is, as the astronauts are descending on Apollo 11, they're talking to Texas, Houston, in real time. There's no delays at all. There should be at least a 3 to 4 second delay between the conversations. And furthermore, there's a huge engine underneath Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, which is blasting out so much noise and sound. How could they even be conversing with Houston while they're landing? It's just, the whole thing is just kind of absurd. It'd be like sitting on top of a gigantically loud rocket, and you're just very casually, okay, taking a left, okay, we're going down, you know.
Tonight's guest is Jay Widener. More of your phone calls. I'm going to get everybody in tonight with Jay right after this short break. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Welcome back. If you want to catch my show, you can. It's called Fade to Black. And it's on the Game Changer Network. You just go to jimmychurchradio.com or KGRA The Planet. And Monday through Thursday, 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, I'm on right before George. If you like guests like Jay tonight and the paranormal and ufology and all of that good stuff, conspiracy, come join us over on Fade to Black. And now, tonight, we've been talking about Stanley Kubrick and the 1999 alleged video that was released, the interview, yesterday on the internet. It did blow things up all over the place. And the one guy that knows Stanley is Jay Widener, and he's here with us for the duration. We're going to get all of your calls in right now on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Jay Widener, and as I promised, I'm going to try to get everybody in before the end of the show. So let's go straight to Mark and Raleigh, North Carolina. Mark, welcome to Coast AM. Say hello to Jay Widener.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Jimmy. How are you all?
We're good.
great. I'm a huge Kubrick fan, and particularly of a lesser seen film of his called Barry Lyndon. And I love the soundtrack to that as well. My point that I wanted to make was in 1978, I was a student in middle school, and NASA, a truck from NASA, made a delivery to our school for a science presentation. And I was one of the students who volunteered to go out and help move the items in. I did that and went back to the truck, and there were some more things in the back, including a pipe that I picked up, a metal pipe. Well, I almost broke my nose with this pipe because I picked it up, and it was almost as light as air. And it had a, I remember it had a paper tag at the end, and the other student who was with me just looked at me as if, you know, I was Superman or something, because it should have been a very substantial metal pipe. And I recently read that DARPA and Boeing, working with NASA, had developed a microlattice metal, which looks a lot like what I saw in 1978. But I always remember asking the truck driver, I said, "What is that?" And he just said, "Don't worry about it." And he slammed the door shut and drove off with it. He said, you know, it was going somewhere else. And my point here is that, you know, in listening to you, is that perhaps everything that is new is not new, and that maybe a lot of these things that we have today are being held back, and things are being released, you know, later as new technologies. And I just wanted you to speak to that, if you think there's some kind of, I don't know, bag or Pandora's box of technology or tricks that, you know, for better or for worse, are being held back. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Mark. Great question. Yeah. Jay, we're probably, what, 20, 30 years behind? You know, what we see today isn't even close to what's actually...
Well, I mean, if you listen to Richard Dolan or Joe Farrell, we could be, you know, 100 years behind, because they're progressing quicker as they have this technology. And that's why it's kind of important for us to start demanding that this stuff be released, because it's beyond ridiculous. And there's so many things that could be stopped that are bad for everybody, and for some reason they're just letting it all go on. And I don't know if it's stupidity, or they're afraid to lose their power, or combination of all, but either way, we all have to come together and force the release of this technology, because we're not going to survive if we don't.
Let's go to west of the Rockies. Dwight, right here in San Pedro, California. Dwight, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Jimmy and Jay. Nice to be with you guys tonight. I have a couple simple points I'm trying to make. First of all, if Apollo 11 or any of the missions didn't happen, how come there are laser beams that can be sent from an observatory in Arizona, beamed up to the surface of the moon, and beamed back to Earth, which has been proven? This is a documented fact. And moon rocks, that's the other one. And I have a simple statement about Mr. Kubrick that I want to make, that during the time of production of 2001, which took place between 1964 and 1968, approximately 4 years in time, Stanley Kubrick's movements had to be reported to the executives of MGM as he was making this $11 million movie during that period of time. And I cannot believe that for 4 whole years, there would be not one single person that would say to somebody, "Oh, he was never on this stage at this time," and, "Oh, he's over the secret stage somewhere else making this movie." I cannot believe that in approximately 40 years that somebody would not have come out and said, "Yeah, he was over on this secret stage somewhere." And that's all I want to say, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Dwight. Jay?
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
To get the documentary, A Life in Pictures, The Life of Stanley Kubrick, they interviewed the head of MGM, who produced 2001, and he says, "We had no idea what was going on over there in England." I swear to God, is what he said. And it's an incredible, jaw-dropping statement, because it was their most highly priced film, and he actually says that he had no idea what was going on over at Pinewood Studios in the documentary. As far as the lasers, that's just bogus. The problem is that the moon is about a quarter of a million miles away, and and a laser does separate, believe it or not. A laser beam actually does separate and grow bigger as it travels. By the time a laser beam hits the moon, your little 2-foot by 2-foot reflector that you set on the surface is just about useless, because that beam is now spread to about, I think, 200 feet at a quarter million miles. So what's really going on is that, yes, you're shooting a laser beam at the moon, and it's coming back and bouncing back, because it's bouncing off the surface of the moon. The moon is a highly reflective surface, has high albedo, and they were bouncing lasers off the moon before the astronauts got there, and then these little panels that they put down would have no effect, because the laser beam would have spread by a huge amount by the time it got to the moon.
Send your email to jay@jaywidener.com. I mean, you really want to stir the pot there, young man. Let's go to Peter in Ohio. First time caller line. Peter, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, hello. Thank you, Mr. Church and Mr. Weiner. I had a brief interaction with you on Twitter about not challenging the guest. You know, I believe that any movie can be, you know, read into as far as you want to read into it. There's probably 1,000 different movies out there that can be read 1,000 different ways. And as far as what I said to you, you know, I think that people that are pushing this kind of thought are taking away from the accomplishments that the United States of America and the people that have accomplished these tasks, and they're taking away from, you know, their accomplishments. And I just didn't see you challenging the guest, and that was what I wanted to say. And
are you referring to me, Peter?
Well, you and the guest. The guest is taking away from the accomplishments of the American people.
I really disagree with you, because I'm saying that we've accomplished a lot more than they're letting on.
Yeah, I'm absolutely right.
Of what you're saying.
But Peter, the thing that I always ask of not only the listeners of Coast to Coast, but my show in general, is listen. Listen to everything. Question everything. The people that don't listen, that are too busy talking, are not learning. And that's what I do. I listen. I listen to Jay. I listen to guests. I listen to callers. You know, and I'd rather listen and absorb and then draw my own conclusions later. It's not my job to be judge and jury. It's my job to learn, and that's all I want to do. And that's what I said to you in Twitter, as a matter of fact. I said, it's my job to listen. I'm listening along with the audience.
Right, but challenging some of what he's saying, particularly in this case, would help.
Why don't you challenge me?
Yeah, a challenge. What though? I'm missing
the fact that all these people have landed on the moon in that time. At least I believe so. Other people believe different. But the fact that they did so, and I believe they did, and he's saying that they didn't, is taking away from the accomplishments that these people actually made. If I'm correct, or if he's correct, then obviously my statement would be false. But I'm just saying that, from my opinion, they landed on the moon. As far as I'm concerned, it's fact. But he's saying they didn't, which takes away.
Nobody has said that, Peter. But let me jump in, Jay, really quick. Yeah. Peter, and please, listen. This show is about the hoaxed video that was released on the net yesterday, where Stanley Kubrick, an actor playing Stanley Kubrick, said that he hoaxed and helped the government fake the moon landings. And we are here to say that video and that interview, it wasn't real. Right. So I'm missing, I don't know where we went afoul tonight for you, Peter, but that is what this show is about.
Well, yeah, and I knew the video that was that this particular show, but he doesn't, your guest, Mr. Weidman, believe that the moon landing was falsified?
I want to be clear here, very clear, because you're obviously not quite getting what I'm saying. I'm saying that we went to the moon, but what we saw was faked. It could have been for national security reasons. There's a many, many reasons why you would want to fake it, why you wouldn't want the Russians to see what you really have. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. I want you to understand that. I believe that we're much further advanced than they've let on. And that instead of us glorifying in what we've really accomplished, they are hiding what we've really accomplished so we cannot share in the glory.
And there you go, Peter. Thank you for the phone call. Okay, Peter, and have a great, safe weekend. Let's go to Sebastian, a wild card in Omaha, Nebraska. Sebastian, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, how's it going, Jimmy?
It's going good, Sebastian. Say hi to Jay Widener.
How's it going, Jay? I have a couple questions here I've been sitting on all night. Okay, so about the moon landings, since he's not saying that we did not go there, he's saying that the footage is faked.
That's right.
So since the footage is faked, and there's a few, like, UFOs that are seen in the video, so I'm just wondering, it just doesn't add up to me. It seems like overkill. Since we have much more advanced stuff than what we're showing on the footage. So is that kind of like foreshadowing what we really had at the time? Or?
Well, I mean, I don't recall any UFOs being seen from the surface. There were.
No, I mean, in the Apollo missions, there's several videos of UFOs being recorded.
Yeah, anomalies in the background. There's some triangles. Yeah. There's a lot of things that have appeared in different
UFOs,
frames.
They're not identified.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, one thing is that there's artifacting from the front screen projection, which I show in my movie Kubrick's Odyssey, and so you're saying
are these like defects? Errors?
Yeah, they're like defects where the little reflective glass beads are slightly off their 90-degree angle, and so they're reflecting odd little lights that Richard Hoagland has found, in fact, which, you know, and NASA refuses to try to explain what Richard Hoagland has found. They just intend to, you know, insult him instead of saying what it is that he found. But he found something very real. He and I disagree on what it is, but it is definitely there. I think it's just artifacting from the front screen projection process.
Okay. And also, my second question, well, it's not really a question, but it's more like an observation. I was researching I just looked up the Van Allen belt while you guys were talking, and they got a little diagram or a picture of it, and it seems like you could just very easily bypass it by going out of the poles.
Well, that would be exactly the way that I would, if I had a space program, I would base it in Antarctica.
And I mean, wasn't there like a lot of interest in the North Pole or in the pole regions during the World Wars?
Yes, there was.
The Second World War. And now Russia's got some anti-aircraft missiles posted up on the North Pole as well, so.
Yeah, sure. We have them both in the North and South. Sebastian, thank you for the phone call. You're one of the last tonight, and we got you in. Thank you so much.
Yeah, hey, I know Jay got a lot of flack tonight, so, yeah, I was just trying to clear some stuff up that it was just on my mind.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sebastian. Yeah, that's what happens, Jay, when you roll that rock uphill all day long. Let's not make fun of that. Let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to Chris in Denver. Chris, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Jay. Just a few days ago, I heard on NPR, on the public radio, and they were talking about how ISIS was going to be releasing some very good films, and that there was a person from the United States that was supposedly editing. And that the reason for what's going on in Paris is to establish who, what, where, and how all the information about the inner earth, the UFOs, the press technology, that all of this is supposed to be happening. And that they were going to say and blame the economic crash on ISIS. And then the Pope is also kind of talking about a jubilee, but it's kind of like faith-based. But that a jubilee would be where the financial monetary system goes back to the people. with its gold-backed, and it kind of all ties in. That film that you're talking about, just a couple of days ago on NPR, they were talking about some films that were going to be released from ISIS.
Jay?
I would certainly think that a jubilee, which is a situation where everybody is forgiven their debt and everybody is like let out of prison and everybody starts like completely all over again, is not a bad idea. But I can't see the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers giving up all their trillions so that we all are happy and equal again. So as much as I'd like to have an economic situation like that, I don't think it's going to happen. And as for ISIS, I think ISIS is a complete creation of the State Department.
There you go. Chris, thank you for the phone call and have a great, safe weekend. Let's go to Larry in Niagara Falls. Larry, welcome to Coast AM. Say hi to Jay Widener.
Thanks, Jay. And thanks, Jim. Thanks, Jay. Jay, listen, I got something real important to say. My father and I were watching live feed from the moon in the 70s. And all of a sudden, the video camera fell, and a hand picked up the camera with a watch on it with no protection. And we looked at each other like, what was that? That's number one. Number two, the pictures of the moon, of the astronauts walking around, all the shadows are different. They're not consistent. I'm a photographer. For the whole life, I was a photographer. Those shadows are inconsistent with the flag, with the astronauts, the LEM, inconsistent. Number three, when the LEM took off, the camera followed the LEM. Who was left on the moon? It was the camera. They didn't have the remote capabilities to work a motor on a tripod to follow the LEM that was going up. And it wasn't done from the United States because they couldn't transmit to work a little motor to run a tripod so they can follow the LEM. It's wrong. It was all what we were shown was man-made somewhere else, and they only showed us what they were supposed to show us, and that was it.
Larry, thank you. I'm gonna give Jay 15 seconds to get those answers in. Jay, do we have motorized remotes?
Yes, we did, but there's no way it could follow with a 4-second delay.
And what about the rocks and the inconsistent shadows? 5 seconds.
That's definitely an artifact of having trouble lighting the set.
Where do we go? SacredMysteries.com?
Get my new movie, The Last Avatar, and Kubrick's Odyssey at SacredMysteries.com.
Jay Widener, you are the best, my friend. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank Tommy, Dan, George, Lisa, Sean, Chris, and Lex. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. It's been great. This is Coast to Coast AM.